Welcome back to Echo Nest, the podcast. I'm your host, Warren Sharp.
I'm Keith Lewis.
He's also your host.
I guess. Yeah,
sure. Yeah. We're both hosting. Really, you're more of the host or whatever, I guess.
I'm the engineer slash producer. I think you're the host because you actually come up with the things to talk about.
Well, in a way, but I think that's the, I guess I do that sometimes. I have my little list over here, but I think for the most part, it's the, I feel like the guest, you know, or whatever, the sidekick is the guy who's, you know, whatever, you know, rambling or bullshitting, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, on today's episode, I guess a little bit of behind the scenes stuff that I think we already, ruined that, last week was that we kind of backlogged these a little bit. So this is the second week of recording, but this is going to come out, in a few weeks or whatever. So this is going to be long, like no one's going to give a shit anymore. So this is like literally the last time we can talk about any NAMM 2020 stuff. So, in whatever episode we talked about that, we had mentioned the few things that we'd seen. I'm still kind of in the same. It's been a week.
Yeah.
Whatever. We're completely ruining that. But like it's been a week, and I still haven't really seen anything really new. I guess there's two things. One is yet another Kiesel design that I just remembered. And then there is the neural quad core, which seems really cool. And we were just looking at that. So, so the neural quad core, what is it? It looks like a new floor unit from Neural. 1,300 euro, what did it come out to be? Like 1,500 US?
Just shy of 1,500 US, yeah.
Nice. So that's not a bad price at all. And then it got me thinking, though, like, how are they screwing me over? Because that's where my brain goes. And I wonder how many of the AmpSim packages and other fun things that Neural does are actually going to be on it. All the dark glass stuff, the parallax stuff, and then all of the amazing AmpSims. I'm going to say it comes with nothing, and you got to buy everything, and that's how they fucking get you.
That probably sounds about right.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
Because that would be, I mean, what is a Neural, sound pack?
Yeah, the plugin.
What does that cost on its own, just for the software?
Yeah, I think they range in price depending on what you get. I think that the Nameless suite, which was the first one I really saw, which is I think that's the Frederick Thordenahl signature one. I think that's like 250 US. I don't know how much the Nolly one is. The Nolly one's got to be it's got to be more because it has like I think it has like five or six of his amps, and then there's the Abbasi and the. The Abbasi and the Plenty, which I think are totally designed, they're not based. I'm not sure if they're based on anything, but they're just kind of designed on their own thing. And so who fucking knows?
Yeah.
I guess we could look it up, but fuck it.
We've already hit the record button. I'm not turning around to the computer again.
So there's that. I don't know. It looks so fucking sweet though. I've been messing around with my old Fractal AX8 a lot this past week, and kind of rediscovering my love for that, like how much shit you can do. And I was at a friend's show last night. I went to see my buddy's band I Am Maddox, and Matt, who's the bass player, has one of those awesome Helix units.
Oh yeah.
And he was actually going straight into the PA. He said he had his amp on the stage, and he just ended up not even using it.
Not even for monitoring?
Not even for monitoring. Wow. And I can't remember why. I think he was just like, fuck it, I guess. But he, I was talking to him a little bit after. I thought he was using an amp because it sounded so fat and full. All in just the best ways possible. It just sounded like a super full bass sound. But then with all the nice attack and everything. So that was really cool. He said there were some things when he was on stage, the monitors sounded a little bit clicky.
And yeah, like, I mean, I'm sure like coming out of not a bass driver, if you're just using floor monitors as a bass player, that has never been like a good sound
right.
in my experience.
I know, right?
I've had to do that a few times just so like with bigger stages where, you know, I used to use a 210 cab exclusively On stage. So if I was playing outdoors on a massive stage,
yeah,
it didn't really cut it. So right. I would have to go through floor monitors, but that was never my first choice. It's all high end and honky and clicky and gross.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. Yeah, those floor monitors don't do a better job. But whatever, though, I guess. They're usually like some kind of 12-inch thing. At least the ones around in our area.
They're just not quite designed to push that low end.
Oh, okay.
And the cabinet's not really big enough to support
that. Oh, that's really true. Yeah, yeah, because they're always that wedge. So there's like got to be at least 20% of the actual room inside just gone from if it was a square box. But yeah, what were we talking about?
The other Kiesel. We were talking about Nance, we were talking about the neural guy.
All right. This brain. It's just not doing well these past couple of weeks. Then the new Kiesel design is the Delos? I can't
I haven't heard him say it. I just have seen it written.
I know, right? I totally could have heard him say it because, you know, he had his launch video. I just didn't even watch it.
Yeah.
I just saw all the video, all the pictures. But yeah, the headless Delos model. And that looks actually really sick because that's the first one I've seen, at least from Kiesel, where they just cut off the headstock. And like the body looks the same, so it still has like the bridge is, I guess, kind of where like a, you know, like a standard kind of Strat style bridge would be. So it actually looks super comfortable.
Yeah.
Who fucking knows? I still haven't ordered my Zeus, so we might be switching over or something. We'll just have to see. We'll have to see. I don't know. I don't think they do multi-scale for the Delos.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, but it might be worth it because it just looks so comfy. It's the only thing, the only thing I don't like about the Vader that I have is the bridge is like 2, 3, maybe even 4 inches. How would I even describe it? Towards the bottom of the guitar, towards the back of the guitar. I don't know. To the right.
From a guitar player's perspective, the bridge is shifted to the right.
Yeah.
Whereas on something like Delos or like a Strat, it's a little further left, and so the whole instrument kind of shifts to your left. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's nice, and that makes it feel good. And then the Vader, because it's moved in that, it's moved more towards the right hand of the guitar or whatever, your body. I don't the right hand of your guitar and then the left neck of your body. I don't know. It makes it a little bit awkward sitting down. When you're standing up, you almost don't realize it at all, but sitting down can be a little bit strange, and that's actually what made me start playing the classical position more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's seriously the only problem I have with it, so I don't know if that's worth it. We'll see, I guess. But it would be fun to have a tremolo on an 8-string guitar. Anyway, though. But so that's the. I think that's it. I think that's NAMM 2020 for me.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen really anything new.
Oh, I told the Epiphone stuff. Did you see that picture?
No.
There's this grainy picture of the 2020 Epiphone line going around. And what they're saying, though, is that they changed the headstock so it looks like the old 60s Kalamazoo headstocks. So it doesn't it doesn't just look like a standard Gibson headstock with the horns cut off. Mm-hmm. It has the open book thing. But it doesn't. I think it has the horns, if I remember correctly, but they're just kind of lower. It looks a lot like the Epiphone Pros, or the Epiphone Pro line that came out. I think it was this year, last year, 2019. And it's just different looking. But instead of it just looking like a bastardized version of the Gibson headstock, it's kind of more of its own thing.
Hmm.
So that looks good, and I guess to close the rant on Gibson the other week is that maybe Epiphone is the way to go. There's no way that the wood is that much different. I refuse to believe that.
Yeah.
And then the electronics, you know, if it's a standard Epiphone, probably horseshit.
Yeah.
But change them out. Maybe Epiphone's the way to go. Maybe that's just, you know, We just do that. Maybe they're trying to just get rid of the Gibson factory completely. They're just trying to get rid of it and just move everything overseas.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Let's do it, man. Let's get over there.
Create crazier businesses or crazier things have been done in business.
I guess so, man. But yeah, so I think now that that is officially it. I think I've completely run out of things in my brain. But that's NAMM.
Yeah.
And hopefully everyone who went had a really good time. Is it next week?
It is not this coming week. I think it is the next week.
Oh, even later? Okay.
I think. Maybe. Okay. I don't know. I've paid so little attention to NAMM this year.
Yeah, and you know what? I had a bunch of friends go last year. It seemed like no lie, 50% of the musicians on my Facebook, you know, and I only know, jeez, I only actually know a small percentage of those.
Yeah.
But like almost everyone I actually know went to it. And then so many people just went to it last year. And this year I'm still seeing a bunch of people, hey, I got my NAMM pass, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not seeing like the crazy hype that I did last year.
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense. You know, it's so expensive to go out there.
Yeah.
I've never been, but the amp company that I work for, they used to go every year, and it was just so expensive. Obviously for a business, you know, you have to pay for a spot and then all the other stuff that goes with it. But then the other things, which are getting the hotels, like I think that's pretty much the big one. But yeah.
Yeah, oh, I mean, just all the people you have to send plane tickets and they'll covering the expenses of those people because you don't want them having to go out and spend their own money to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a, I know there's a funny thing with the NAMM stuff. There's something with them. I don't know if it's a California thing or particular to, you know, it being in LA or whatever, or just whatever it is. But there's something where there's some kind of union where when they're building the, when you're putting up your NAMM booth or whatever,
mm-hmm.
You either have to pay the union guys to do it, or you get it. It's literally a screwdriver, and I think it's 1 or maybe 2 hours, and you have to complete it in that time. If you can't complete it in that time, you can't use any power tools because of the union stuff out there.
Wow.
And that might have changed. This is the amp company I work for hasn't been there in maybe 10 years or so. And so maybe something's changed, but that was just another thing that they like. So I think the first few years they did it themselves, and after that though I think they just, you know, screw it,
we'll say forget it. That's too much money, too much effort.
Yeah. But anyway, gosh, yeah, I'm really trying to stretch this NAMM stuff out because I don't know what we're talking about next. Let's see, what do we got? Well, there's that. What do you
no, I was just gonna say, well you know, we're talking kind of about gear and things like that.
Yeah.
What is the Warren Sharp history of, like, I know you have had many, many guitars over your career as a guitarist, but what have been like the main instrument that you've used? What was your main instrument for each period of your life?
Oh man, that's such a fun question.
I should have asked this before, because I'm sure this is going to take a minute to think about.
No, not at all. Okay. They just all came back. Oh my gosh, it's just so nice. My let's see. I'm trying to think though of what would be the more fun way to start, either at the end and working the way up, or starting now and going backwards into.
I would say start at the beginning and let's go forwards from there.
Oh man, my first electric guitar, which I still have and is like kind of like it's all beat up now and it has a bunch of stupid stickers on it and everything from when I was a kid, but it's a Lion, which was a subsidiary off of Washburn. And we got it, my parents got it. I had just been like, hey, I want to start playing guitar. And I was playing on my dad's old acoustic, but they knew I wanted an electric. And we were at fucking Costco, and they just got me. It was like the guitar and the amp and cable and all that shit. And that guitar actually, I ended up doing a bunch of stupid shit to it, including sanding the neck. And I'm not even just talking about like taking off the finish. I mean, like sanding the wood.
But actually changing the shape.
So there's a couple of weird, stupid spots in it. But I played the fuck out of that guitar, and I've actually used it on a few gigs, like, I guess in a professional sense, there's something about the humbucker that's in the bridge, which is the only pickup in the guitar now. I ripped the other two. Well, actually, anyway, and, it has this weird sound to it. That's really good. It just shaves off a lot of the top end, but it's still clear. So it has this very, it's a really punchy pickup, I guess. It just sounds awesome. And, all right. So anyway, there's that. But then, that guitar is actually weird. I guess it's kind of spanned my whole, and there's some Echo Nest recordings with it actually.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, anything that has a tremolo kind of guitar, or, you know, I always say tremolo, but I guess technically it's a vibrato, but the, anything that has that kind of, you know, whammy sound.
Yeah.
That's not on our latest thing that we haven't put out yet. Actually, is that guitar?
Wow,
because that's the only guitar that I've had since 2012 that has a whammy bar. So anytime you hear that in any of the Echo Nest recordings, it was that guitar. Wow. Now it's changed because now I have that seven. I got that seven string in 2018. Yeah, 2018, and then I have a Floyd on my Explorer, but that's, you know, those are only the last 2 years, and anyway, but so much fun. So that's the whole, that one's gone the whole way. After that, my main guitar for years, which I also still have, is a Fernandez Revel, which was their Les Paul style guitar, and I use it in metal bands and in like the country thing that I used to do. And it has this really interesting sound. I'm pretty sure that the pickup is wired incorrectly. The bridge pickup is a Seymour Duncan JB. But I'm pretty positive that it's wired in parallel instead of being in series, because it is super bright and very dynamic and super low output. And I have, I've had JBs, over the course of the years, cause I just love them, and they've never sounded like that. So I'm pretty sure it's wired incorrectly. And I did a recording session with it for with that country thing. And, actually the producer on it was Chris Stamey, right? Do you know him?
I don't think I know him.
He's kind of a local, one of the local legend kind of dudes in the Chapel Hill Carborough thing. I don't know the full history, but I know it's something to do with like Mitch Easter and everything, like those guys. Yeah. I think they like grew up together, and I think they were in like a band together. Write in and tell us how wrong I am. but anyway, so he was like, I did the recording at my house and sent it over to the people because it was cheaper. And he was like, "What guitar is that?" And he swore it was a Telecaster, and it's absolutely not a Telecaster. But yeah, so there's that. Gosh, then what comes next? Then it's kind of a blur because it's a lot of instruments. Because I started right after high school, kind of in between high school and when I went to school for music, when I went to college, I guess, which was 2 years. It's kind of a blur because I didn't really do a whole lot. I was in a couple of bands, but and did a little bit of gigging outside of bands, but I was really trying to find some instruments, and like, I think I went through two Strats during that time, the PRS SE series, a semi-hollow thing. There's a Gibson V in there, one of the faded ones. There's a Hamer Explorer. There's the XT series, the, you know, made in Korea ones. There is an Epiphone Goth Explorer. And then all these things also, like, I would change all the pickups and everything in. And the only one from that time that was really rad was a Ibanez Xyphos. And I had that for only a few years. And I bought it for $300. It was the nice one, the XPT 700 or whatever. So it was a six string neck through, the green to blue color change, and had like the low pro trem. It was just, oh, so good. and I traded it for a fucking Avatar cab, and that was a huge mistake. That was like one of the biggest I think that's actually the biggest mistake of my life.
Yeah.
I love that guitar so much, and they are I cannot find a Xyphos for less than $600.
Oh man.
So it would have at least been nice to have the option of like, well, I can always sell it and make some money.
Yeah.
So dumb. Okay, so then we're moving on. School, all through school, was a Godin Fifth Avenue archtop, like full hollow body. That was a lot of fun. I still have that. Oh my gosh, what else? I think after that, really, it's then I get my 2015, I get my Gibson Explorer. We already went through that story.
Talked about that.
Yep, and that, so that was great. Then I get an 8-string. I've had a 7-string for years at this point, but I get an 8-string, and that's where all the stupidity really comes in.
Right.
And it's like an LTD, like it's the Stephen Carpenter signature, but it's the real low model one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only a 25.5-inch. I immediately change out the pickups, and had a lot of fun with that. I don't think any recordings exist with that guitar on it. And then a year or two later, we get the Kiesel Vader, the 8-string.
Yeah.
And that's been the boo.
Yeah.
That's been the boo for the past, it'll be 4 years, I think, in like September-ish. It's been the main boo. And gosh, but there's been so many guitars. As of today, I own 19 guitars.
Jesus.
And I've definitely owned at least, well, I've probably owned like, actually, it might be close to 19 other guitars.
Yeah.
You know, but they've just come and gone. Oh, I'm trying to think of what's the, I only have a few guitars that I've ever bought for like very specific reasons over the years. And one was a white Strat trying to get the Nile Rodgers sound. But then the other one that I can think of is the double neck.
Oh,
for
yeah.
The Rush tribute band. Like, and literally it's for Xanadu, but just to make myself feel better, I think I play it on like two other songs that don't even really need it, but it's like whatever. And that thing's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's so much fun. Oh man. Oh, memory lane. Actually, there's almost more amps than guitars over the years. But that's probably a little more boring, to be honest with you. And there's definitely a lot more cursing with that.
Yeah.
Because it's been so many cheap amps, but anyway.
Well, I feel like I know you better now.
Maybe, like a little
closer look into the history of Warren.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it really has. It's kind of been a trip. I'm trying to think if there's been any other, like, I'm trying to also think of, like, what's the kind of craziest guitar. I think maybe the Xyphos was the craziest one, but that guitar was so nice. Like, man, it had DiMarzio deactivators, which are super hot pickups, but they sounded so nice in that. Like, it just had a great clean sound, and like the middle position, I remember, was just like had this beautiful, like, just the perfect amount of quack to it. So it was like if you're doing any kind of bluesy stuff, like it was just awesome.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I should not have gotten rid of that guitar. That was such a dumb and I the cab, so I traded the cab right when that movie Avatar kind of had come out, or maybe a year after it. But the dickhead who I was trading the cab to was like, yeah man, I got this Avatar cab, it's blue. And I was talking to this dude for like 30 minutes or so, and it just never clicked with me. And literally, like, driving home, I'm driving home from this cab with this cab, and it, all of a sudden it dawns on me, like, it's a blue Avatar cab. And I'm like, fuck, this dude, like, this is all a joke to him.
You should have known it was a mistake.
I should have fucking known. I needed a cab more than the guitar. And, cause I needed, kind of like what you were just saying about the bass stuff, I needed something that just gave me more, sound live, or you know, we were doing, this was back when you could get shows at more of the mid-level venues a lot easier. So they had a lot bigger stages and everything. And yeah, I just I traded my guitar. I traded my beautiful guitar. Oh my God.
You know, well, yeah. I mean, you have 19 others to console you.
It doesn't matter. It's like that's the one that got away for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sad. I look every once in a while about, you know, is there a Xyphos for a decent price? And they're never anywhere near us, and so it's like even if it's a sub 600 or even 500 price, you're still paying 100, 200 for shipping.
Oh yeah.
It's like, fuck, never mind. But maybe we'll see a 8-string Xyphos. Oh. Oh my God. I doubt it though. It's been so many years.
Yeah. So this conversation ran really long, so we're actually splitting this into two separate episodes. So this conversation will continue next week.